Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our July podcast, recording it here on the evening of July 26th. I'm your host in the top center here, Chad Sherwood, joined by Mike Cha, who is clearly not social distancing at a Michigan basketball game right now. John Salica, who's wearing a face mask and social distancing from nobody else in his room with him. Good job.
Yeah, which is something no one is going to pick up on if you're listening audio only tonight.
We got John Tytel below me here, or just his face. Tytel, is that true? Are we there?
We are there.
All right. We got Zach with us, or at least a picture of a husky in the Big East.
Dogs don't apparently get COVID, so the mascots will be here after we're all gone. So there's that light in the darkness.
And speaking of mascots, we also have David Griggs.
I didn't say it was all good.
Well, this is going to be a marked improvement right here.
I actually kind of like it.
It's like a muffle.
This is a major improvement in our shows already, but not enough to hear from David. But we are coming to you, like I mentioned, here on July 26th in the, depending on who you're talking to, middle, end, beginning, who knows, but we're somewhere in the middle of this COVID-19 pandemic still that has shut down sports since March. And finally, we have professional sports just starting up again. As we're recording this, there's an NBA preseason game, and Major League Baseball is a few days into its season, which already a few bumps along the way there. So we're talking about before we started, right, Zach?
So four Marlins starters have COVID. Look, you know, they weren't, it's okay because they weren't competitive. No, actually it's not, because it's a deadly virus and I can't believe they're playing. But
and take it 2 out of 3 from the Phillies while doing so.
The good news is the Marlins don't regularly play games in the middle of the largest outbreak in the United States location. So they'll be fine.
Well, we wanted to discuss the pandemic today, actually, as our main topic here, and really the outlook for us being a college basketball podcast, college basketball, and even college sports in general here. And let's start here. Well, David, let me start with you, if you're able to speak. I think you pulled your mask down off your face here.
I think so.
Okay.
All right.
Looks like a nun now.
No,
I think he's the furthest from a nun as possible.
Yeah, the water started to burn my skin.
but David, you know, what you're seeing, what you've heard, you know, out there, you know, what are the chances of college sports both this fall and even going into the winter here, you know, given where this pandemic is?
Well, okay, I don't think you have to be a genius to assess this. I don't think the chances for the fall are very good. I do think that we'll see a lot of schools try it. I don't think that they want to give up yet. If you look at the Power Five football, for instance, it looks like they're right now looking at how to alter the seasons with, limited out of conference games to no conference games at all. But here's the thing. I think a lot of contingency plans were contingent on this getting better, and it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. It's worse now than it was at really any point, at least in terms of numbers of infections. I know that some data you look at, the hospitalizations are down and the death rates down, but the infection rates are up, and it just really isn't conducive to anything. The Board of Governors for the NCAA met on Friday, and one of the things that they discussed was shutting down fall championships, meaning the NCAA tournaments. Now, FBS football does not have an NCAA championship, so in theory, that would not have been directly affected, but I think it very much would have been indirectly affected. We've seen conferences, the MEAC, the Colonial, I believe the SWAC, the Patriot, and the Ivy, and there might be some more, that have already canceled fall sports, including football. I think that there will be more to come, not less. I think that in 3 weeks, it's not going to be any better. So if we're not ready now, we're not going to be ready in 3 weeks when they meet again. I personally, without having a crystal ball, just don't see how you can play fall sports. I don't think anybody's going to want to play if the championships are canceled. And even schools that do, I don't know if the Power Five attempts to start a football season, I don't foresee this getting better to the point to where they'll be able to complete it.
I mean, forget fall sports. This is trying to get students on campus for fall, trying to figure out the logistics there. Because if you look at the state of California, for example, I think it's the UC and the Cal State schools that are going to be going online only for the fall semester.
That's even a really good point.
Even a school like Xavier, for example, they're going to have a really strange schedule where I think late August, they're going to try to get back on campus. They're actually going to have classes on Labor Day because they don't want students to be flocking out of town for a three-day weekend going to potential COVID-19 hotspots. You're also looking at an instance where they're going to have, I think they'll finish their classes prior to Thanksgiving, and then after Thanksgiving break, everyone is going to take their exams from home and then pretty much have a prolonged Christmas break, and then we'll have to see what happens going into January. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts just trying to figure out how to juggle academics, let alone sports in the fall and early winter.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a good point. And Touch, let me ask you this here. If we can't even have students on campus, how can we have student athletes on campus engaging in activities that place them in very close proximity to each other, like playing football and playing basketball and the like?
Perhaps you cannot, but I think that it just depends on the priorities. I mean, we saw the TBT in a bubble type format and with testing, and a lot of those teams had one positive test and got knocked out, and the ones who survived, pun intended. We'll see. I don't know if it's going to focus on the NBA bubble in terms of if it shows that a sustained series of basketball can be played without any bad impact, or if it's going to be college football in some semblance to see, oh, college students can play athletics and live to tell about it with or without students on campus. The other X factor is, like, if there's a Christmas Day miracle and we get a vaccine in 5 months, like, if a vaccine comes out on Christmas Day, how many days or weeks or months after that day can we safely play college basketball? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, a big, big point there on the vaccine. If a vaccine gets approved on Christmas Day, we're probably looking 3 to 6 months minimum until you get enough distribution, even if they are starting to produce the vaccines already. So,
and that's also depending on how many doses it's going to take for it to take full effect.
Exactly. But Mike, let me bring you in here on your thoughts on this. Is there any way, let's turn towards basketball a little bit. Is there any way we could actually play basketball, especially in the non-conference season here, where I think the Ivy League has already canceled the non-conference basketball season? Are we just looking at maybe a conference-only season even in basketball?
I think it's very possible because during the fall, that's when you have your non-conference portion of the season, and that's when you like travel to like the Bahamas or wherever, and I think it's going to be exceedingly difficult to be able to play a non-conference schedule. It's very possible that basketball might be limited to just a conference portion only.
Right, and without a vaccine, the only way to get through this is by testing. And while the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NFL can test like crazy, how is a SWAC school going to test like crazy? How is even a school from the Metro Atlantic going to test like crazy, like you would in these professional sports?
And that's the main, Chad, it's almost like we planned this. That's the main reason why I'm really struggling to see it. Because even if you want to be optimistic and think that we're getting a vaccine, even if you don't think it's as serious as they say, or anything, everyone at least agrees, I think, on the importance of testing and tracing. Well, if the average price of a coronavirus test is $100 per test for one person, when you factor in how often they're going to have to test players, how many tests that's going to take up, you can't just test the basketball team. You're going to have to test all the teams. For even branching out beyond that, you're going to have to test, really, UConn is testing the whole student body. I come at it from a moral idea of if they should play, but if you want to be cynical, there is a business reason why they probably won't. It's just the money. all we've heard about is how much all of these athletic departments are taking a bath right now before possibly losing football. And it is an unprecedented economic catastrophe for everybody. If you add on top of it, COVID testing that you need to do to maybe start a basketball season that might happen so you can maybe finish in the middle of the Horizon League. I just don't realistically see that happening. I think at most, if we get basketball, I think maybe January 1st, but the timing and the cost are the two biggest things I really think against it, because you can wish and hope and put together a non-conference all you want and do the testing and tracing. It's a difference between Kansas doing the testing and tracing and Chicago State. For the Power Five schools are losing more money, but they have more to lose also. Wisconsin-Milwaukee's loss won't make the front page as much as the Wisconsin loss will, but it's a lot more crippling blow. And when you're in a scenario where you've got to just balance what little money you have, while I think testing and tracing is critically important in general, if you don't have a season and you don't have to do it, you get to save a lot of money. I think that cynicism, as much as anything else, will drive why we might not play it. And I want to – nobody wants them not to play. I want them to play. I just don't think it's realistic right now.
Well, and I throw out another team for
– Chad, sorry, then I'll shut up. The other problem is the irony is we're all talking – the big focus now is football, partially because of the calendar. Football's outdoors. You can make an argument that basketball is like the worst possible sport for this. Close physical contact, indoors, tight spaces. It's a very small playing surface and recirculating the same air everyone's breathing. It's really difficult. At least football has a lot more people, but you're outdoors. Basketball's a really tough nut to crack with a – with a deadly respiratory virus.
Let me ask you something about he mentioned the cost factor there. You throw that in there, they're saying, well, we got to play because we need the money. But especially when you talk about a Power Five school in Power Five conferences in football, I don't see any way you play with fans in the stands. And isn't that a huge portion of the money? Is the money coming from selling those season tickets? So all you're doing is having the expense of all the testing, and you're not getting one of the major sources of your revenue. So again, how does it make sense to play?
Well, and a lot of that is just money that they feel that they're contractually having to spend. Yet all of this money loss and all of this revenue loss, I mean, I get that to a point, but you're right. And you're not going to get the money from ticket revenue. You would arguably get it from television, but you're not going to have the ticket revenue from the 7 or 8 games that a lot of the Power Fives play at home. In one sense, the Group of Five and even the FCS, it's kind of a different story for them to where, yeah, they're out a lot of revenue, but a lot of that revenue goes right into their operating budget. So if you're out the revenue, but you're not playing the season and don't need the operating budget, a lot of these FCS schools aren't going to sweat it as much as maybe some of the Power Five schools do, which is kind of ironic. I mean, that kind of turns the tables around. But when you get in the coaching salaries and facilities and staffing and, what a big operation athletics and football are at the FBS, and how much that relies on the revenue, I can understand why they're sweating a little bit. Here's my question, and I think Zach alluded to this. I think everybody's kind of alluded to this. Say we're able to play with all the testing and no fans, this is not going to be – I think the diehards like us would watch. I don't think the general fan would accept this as the normal diversion that they enjoy. Like, if sports can't be served up in the way that people typically like it, is it worth doing at all? Do players want to play an altered season or a shortened season and burn a year of eligibility? So my question, and I kind of am interested – even if we can, should we? Because would we be able to do it in the way that people want, including the players?
Sorry, can I go ahead, Zach. Only because David mentioned my name. It gets a little upside down where you get to this position where I actually think the guys who will be less willing to play, I would think, would be the top-end guys who have got a long possible pro career either in the U.S. or abroad. But the guys who are just, it's their, they get, their dream is to play college basketball and they get a ride and they get a college education, all that stuff. But at, you know, they're at Northern Arizona, like this is their 4 years. They're, I think, likelier to want to play because they're, this well, is.
Do it. You want to burn one of your 4 years on a year that's not really a year?
Well, then it goes back to your point, which is actually the important one, and it gets lost easily. It's the moral imperative. I think the important point is the moral imperative. Chad, I don't know where you wanted to go with it.
Well, I was kind of like focusing more on David's point about, you know, who would tune in for it. And, you know, at the Titel, you know, I think, you know, we're seeing incredible ratings right now for the baseball return. I think that the TV ratings will be through the roof for everything, especially if people are still locked at home, wouldn't they?
That's the thing. Like now when it's like nice outside, people can go out and socially distance, hopefully, and go on a river or in a pool by themselves, or at least spread out, or to an outdoor bar. When it's like 20 below and snowing in January, and the only sport you can watch on TV and the college level is basketball, I think you'll get some big time ratings. Obviously it's not the same as being there, but what else is there to do?
And also college basketball isn't really a big TV sport. It is in March Madness, obviously, but it just, your regular run of the mill Big East game or ACC game doesn't actually draw huge numbers for the most part.
It draws me.
More of a tonnage. Yeah. Which proves my point. No, it's more of a tonnage thing, but that's a great point, John. I mean, is it what anyone's going to want to watch? No, but if it's Tuesday night in January, I mean, and it's on, I'm going to watch it, you know, and it goes back to the whole Power Five thing. Like the numbers don't have that far to go down. It's not like the potential crap storm if people feel that way about college football when they play. Yeah. Like there's a lot more ratings to lose there.
Well, Stalika, is the only solution then that we just have to wait for a vaccine and there's no other, and that's it?
Well, we're probably going to have to either be looking for a vaccine. I mean, I don't think you can exactly put teams in a bubble like they're doing in the NBA where you're going to have about 22 different teams gathering. But I'm going to throw out another team. We talk about conference-only games. What if you're the Bellarmine Knights, you're joining the ranks of Division I this year, and here are your conference teams. You're going to be playing half your games in Florida, a bunch of games in Alabama, as well as Tennessee and Georgia. Those are all COVID hotspots right now. Would you want to potentially be quarantining for 2 weeks after a road trip? I mean, there is going to be a huge nightmare.
That's a rough welcome to Division I.
Yeah. Mike, you got something like the Western Athletic Conference. You know, you've got teams from California to Chicago there. That's a huge amount of travel. And Seattle in there, too. I mean, you know, I can almost make an argument, I think, maybe for something like the Northeast Conference where the teams are very bunched together. But some of these cups are spread everywhere, aren't they?
I also wanted to bring one point. Is it, what about the possibility of pushing back the tournament from March to, let's say, April or even May, just to give it a little more time, a little more leeway?
Possibly. The reason that was problematic last year was I think it got to a point, a lot of things were in play last year, Mike, where one, the venues, you need the venue for 4 days, and it would have been hard to find, is it 12 or 8 venue, whatever it was, that were available for 4 days. And also, I think a lot of administrators, not necessarily athletic department administrators, but college administrators, just didn't want to deal with athletics based on everything. They wanted it off their plate. In a sense, moving forward, say that we're able to start it. I don't want to say that's an impossibility, but I do think that if there is a late start to the season, say it's conference play only and we start in January, that they would look to play the tournament on time. Some of the things that you hear kicked around, and I'm not a fan of this, but this is what's being discussed, is that if everyone just plays conference games only, they would go back 5 years, look at the average number of bids that each conference has gotten, and allot that many bids to the conference. Like from that, develop a list almost like World Cup qualifying. This league gets this much. This league gets this much. And looking at that, and another thing that they've considered is maybe an all-inclusive tournament after a conference season, to where you have sort of play-in tournaments until it's down to 64, and then it from 64 on, it goes on as scheduled. I don't know how you feel about either one of those formats, but I kind of hate them both.
I think, yeah, I want to wander in traffic. yeah. I think it was Michael brought up a good point about the another thing. I mentioned the price, but like we've got these state quarantines. I mean, it's if the state quarantines are still a thing and are enforced, it's pretty much a physical impossibility for a lot of these conferences to even conduct themselves.
Yeah. Athletics would have to get a waiver.
Yeah, if you can't come into New Jersey because you're in the – you can't have a conference team come in to play a game at Monmouth because they happen to be in a state that's on the 14-day quarantine list. We're not going to wait 2 weeks till you play your next game.
It's ask the Toronto Blue Jays about that right now.
Exactly.
The Buffalo Blue Jays. The Buffalo Jays said you can't play there.
Yeah,
they were considering Pittsburgh, and they said, nope, can't play here either.
Oh, I got a question. What about players from outside the United States? I'm thinking of Franz Wagner from Germany. Can he come over to the U.S.? Or
that is a problem. Getting them to the U.S. Yeah. is a headache, but here's the issue. This is getting worse, not better, in terms of infections. We've had a million infections in the last 15 days.
Is that
what happens if a school closes and then they can't get back? That is the because again, when you, I know that like yeah, you're concerned about getting them here, but one of the things that they're going to want to know is, are we going to be? What happens if school closes? If we go all online? How do I get back into my country that won't take me back because you can't travel from the United States into those countries? I think that eventually they would be able to get back, but you're talking about a massive, massive headache.
Yeah.
Not to mention a presidential election in November that could potentially change the outcome of overseas travel. So yeah. A lot of
We're not going to get into politics in this podcast. Yeah. otherwise, we'll be about 7 hours. But
Blue Jays – who are from a country that seems to have a pretty good handle on this, could not get an exemption to play baseball in Pittsburgh and Baltimore, not like crazy hotspots, people with seemingly sane leadership, then I'm pretty sure that Robert Morris isn't going to get a waiver if they go play a game in Florida. Like, I'm just going to throw that one out there. If a Major League Baseball team owned by the largest telecommunications provider in Canada couldn't throw enough money at the Canadian government. Like, I'm sorry, it's not happening for Youngstown State. I mean,
okay, let me just kind of wrap back a little bit into basketball here again, and let's assume that maybe there is some type of season. But I know David mentioned earlier the idea that, you know, is a player going to burn a season of eligibility for this? And we're seeing I believe in just a couple of weeks now, the NBA early entry deadline, which was pushed back several times, coming up, I believe, August 17th or 15th or so. Titel, you've been following this a lot now. How much of an effect do you think the whole season being up in the air is having on players deciding what they're going to be doing next year? Are they going to go into the try to go pro? Are they going to try to go overseas? Are they going to stick around for another year and not play possibly?
Very difficult question as of July 2020, only because there's 10,000 factors going on, some of which we don't even think about yet. If a kid really values his education, I assume that he'll try to stick around as long as he can. If he wants to get the heck out of college, we can start earning some money in times of like crushing unemployment. If he wants to get out of the United States because it's becoming the most dangerous country in the world to live in, if the kid wants money in his pocket, like there's so many different factors. I don't know what kids will do as far as preserving a year of eligibility. Yeah. Like if I want to set a school record for career, whatever, or if I want to have that extra year to give me the skill set I need to become a draft pick caliber player. Sure. But I think that's a small segment.
Have you seen that? Have you seen a lot of people a lot of surprising declarations maybe to go to the NBA or the like?
Nothing stunning, I don't think. It's also too early, like you said, like they've readjusted the deadlines. I don't know if they're going to have a combine. I don't know if it's going to be something where you want to accrue a lot of draft picks this year or trade them away and wait for next year. I wish I had answers, but I think it's very much up in the air.
All right. Zach, your thoughts on the same issue?
Yeah, I mean, that's what John said is why I know I sound pessimistic, but it's just, there's so many giant what ifs are what make it difficult for me. And I think, Chad, you tried to hit on one that was really a point I don't want to say it's underrated because the other ones are so massive and they're enough of a problem, but the whole international student thing is a huge problem. We're seeing international athletes who are now not coming to the United States. I can't in good conscience make an argument for some kid from a country that's got this under control coming over to play in, like, you know, in the West Coast Conference. Like, come on. And I don't, in addition, not just morally, I just don't know how that even works in terms of the quarantine process, in terms of the ability to immigrate. I think the U.S.-Canadian border issue is just as big of an issue as the European side, because there's a huge percentage of, I wouldn't say it's the, I feel like the largest percentage of non-Americans that play in college are probably Canadian, and it's a hard closed border. And it's, in a basketball sense, it changes a lot of predictions and outlooks if teams can't get players, but it also makes it just so difficult to conduct a season. I'm trying to attack this, just the rational thing is what gets me. There are so many just basic practical reasons why I think we might get January 1st, don't get me wrong, we might get the best case scenario is January 1st, we get conference-only play, and I know the Big East is supposedly they want to play just more games, so instead of 20, we'll just play conference teams, we'll play like 26 of them. I don't know if that's feasible, especially in the Big East where so many teams need pro arenas that are going to desperately need those dates for when the NBA and NHL start back up.
Yeah. Even then, I think another question you would probably have to ask is, even if fans are allowed in, how many do you let in? Do you go 20% capacity, 25% capacity? I mean, I know in my hometown, the Cincinnati Reds are trying to put a plan together to at least get limited seating in for MLB. But again, that's an outdoor sport. An indoor sport is going to be a completely different animal.
Well, I think the idea maybe of a January play, though, is we're playing with a vaccine in place, though.
Right. Well, I get that thought, but I just, like, it could be the quickest turnaround in human history for a vaccine if it's January, but I still don't think, it's like what you said, it's having a vaccine and having enough of it are two different things. And just having the vaccine, it's going to take a long time to ramp up production. And let's be honest, I don't think college basketball players, whether you should or will be near the front of the line, just because it's going to be vulnerable people and the wealthy, which college basketball players don't really, you know, unless you're at Kansas, it doesn't really impact you being one of those two groups. So that's where I think the other issue is, it's just going to take time once we have a vaccine, and I think we will, but it's going to take a long time to get enough of it. And I'm also concerned from this, I know you guys all agree, what little we seem to know about COVID, and I'm far from an expert on anything, let alone this, but it seems to really be impacting the black community, the folks from impoverished backgrounds, which makes up a large percentage of college basketball players. And I'm really, really concerned from that point of view. And it's, again, even if you think because they're college students, they'll be fine, the point isn't the college students. It's college basketball's fan base is an older fan base. It's not even necessarily about the players. It's the guys at the scorers table that have been, the PA guy at Central Connecticut's been there since the beginning of time. That's the guy I'm worried about. Yeah, that's the guy. The players can be fine. They can even have it and never know. It's an older fan base that attends the game, that watches it, by every demographic that we have, and it's the support staff. That's who I'm really worried about. Even if there aren't fans in the building, there's going to be a scorers table. You guys know how old these refs are. That's where I start getting my concerns about it.
And I agree with you. There's, I mean, you kind of got into the whole argument about actually, you know, schools, high schools and elementary schools and the like here. It's not about necessarily about whether the kids that are going to schools are going to get sick. But the fact is, you can't run these places. You can't run sports. You can't run a school without teachers and janitors and food servers and everything else.
Have you ever seen a bus driver that looked healthy to you?
all
the times you've been around these teams and on these
and John, think about something else here. Look at the travel itineraries for some of these referees that literally go halfway across the country from one night to the next.
They are literally super spreaders, potentially, if even if they're fine.
Okay, I'll tell you what here. We're kind of running low on time here, so I want to do at this point is run through each of you for any other final thoughts on where we're going here with college sports. And, you know, we've got on the website here our College Hoops countdown that says allegedly there's 106 days left to the college sports, the college basketball season. There's got to be a huge asterisk by there, I think. But, Mike, let me start with you. What are your thoughts moving forward here on what the outlook is, given everything we've discussed tonight?
I mean, not good. With college, there's just a lot more obstacles you got to deal with. Like, at least with a professional athlete, they can, you know, they can afford the resources. They can afford the means to, you know, to for sanitation and cleanliness. It's a lot harder for a college student athlete. And then with college, you know, they're dependent on the campus too. Are the students allowed back on campus? And just a lot more problems. And we all want college sports to be back, but, you know, we want to do it in a safe way. And it just, right now it's not looking that good, but we just hope for the best and hope things will change for the better.
Yeah. Tytel, I was really hoping this podcast would make me feel optimistic about the season. I think I've gone the wrong way during this half hour or so. Your thoughts though?
I agree with you. There's very little to be optimistic about. Again, like if there's a vaccine on Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever, I think that changes the entire discussion. Until then, I think it's very much up in the air. I don't know what the NBA draft is going to look like. I don't know what preseason is going to look like for college, if there's going to be one, if there's going to be even a conference season, since non-conference is looking good. Is there going to be March Madness or April Madness or May Madness or no Madness? It's great to have a discussion, but so much uncertainty that it's not worth getting too pessimistic or too optimistic about.
Yes, Salika, your thoughts, is he right? Just let's not hang our heads too low at this point either.
I was actually going to go in a little bit of a different direction. Okay. There was actually one anonymous donation to the North Carolina Athletic Department to the tune of $600,000 to some students and student athletes who would have graduated last year but have actually had to postpone about a year or so. And we find out those anonymous donors were Roy Williams and his wife Wanda. So good to see at least some people holding to the premise of higher education.
And maybe that is one of the good things we're seeing about this is the way is people pulling together and people doing the right thing and things like that, big donations. But Zach, let me ask you here, any other thoughts on this whole issue?
I actually do have, it's a warped way to get there, but I do have some positivity in the sense that I still do expect to see college basketball at some point in the idea of a 2020-21 season. As I said, I don't think it will happen in the 2020 half. But it's, if no other reason, the fact that I don't know. Look, not that the NCAAs, I'm a fan of them as an organization, but I don't know how they survive if they have two straight years without the TV money the tournament provides, which is basically everything for them. And so I think that as much as anything else is a reason to believe, because if it's July Madness, if it gets them that money, because 2 years in a row forfeiting like $800 million, that's a bad place to be. The thing I'll say is it's the sooner they get on top of a plan, the better they'll be. If it's got to be weird, fine. But if they want to have a chance at pushing back the season, I would say do it now and do it aggressively. Push it way out. If you have to push towards like May or June, just do it now, because you're not going to be able to make that decision if you're the NCAA in January. If for a million reasons, including venues, just get in front of it. And that's also a way you can help out the venue industry and say, hey, look, we're committed. God knows they've got the availability and bookings in all these arenas right now. So if the NCAA gets proactive, if they really want to have a tournament, they have an opportunity now. They don't have to worry about arena calendars anymore because there aren't any. So this is the time for them. I expect us not to have a fall sports season, but I still think we will see college basketball at some point, because there's just too much in terms of the existence of the organization's money on the line.
Might they use outdoor stadiums for the tournament, like when the weather gets better?
That would be different.
Yeah. Some aircraft carriers.
Those footballs. No,
outdoors, it's you know, you have more air circulation.
Plus the fact that this year was supposed to be in Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, which is the best site for the NCAA in terms of exerting control. And it's a big football stadium. So
you and it's retractable. It you can't open the roof there.
Yeah. Well, I'm optimistic from that point of view that the NCAA only cares about money.
I got to say, Zach, just a quick comment on your thoughts there. Is number one, it would really help if the NCAA had a little more leadership, as in a level of leadership for college basketball and for college football for each sport, as opposed to having one group of leadership that tries to determine every single sport out there. And because it's a complete disaster. We really need we want to call it a basketball czar or something like that. No, David, it should not be.
I will do it.
And on your comment that the NCAA might not survive, there's an argument that might not be a bad thing, but that could be another.
I know. I'm very aware of that. I'm just saying, I don't think they'll feel that way.
But David, let me go ahead and let you finish off the show here tonight.
Okay, so you know a couple things that I'll just start with this. I was all on board, like when we saw the models toward back in March and April, it looked like it would be subsiding by now, and it looked like college sports for the fall would be a probability. I don't think that's the case anymore. I don't agree with the wait and see approach anymore, simply because we have waited and we have seen, and what the hell else do you need to wait and see for? It's getting worse, not better. Colleges are not pro sports in the sense that they can't put kids in a bubble in these, luxury resort hotels the way the NBA and the other leagues are doing it. They're college students. They have to, by existence, to be a student, interact with other people. You can't just put them in a bubble. This voluntary return to campus has been a disaster, and that's only what's been reported. Hypothetical question. All these schools, when asked about what their COVID situation, when they're not giving answers, why do you suppose that is? Is it because they don't like sharing good news with people? Or is it because it's as bad or worse as what other schools has reported and they don't want it out there? This is just the voluntary camps. What's it going to look like when they actually start playing against other teams? What the hell else do you need to see? Go ahead and cancel the fall. Cancel it now, so kids that are international students or are in situations to where it's difficult for them to travel to a campus, either because of a border closing or travel restrictions from the state that they came from, so they don't have to travel to campus and in 2 weeks be sent home again if a campus goes to online. I just don't understand what else you need to see to convince you that fall sports are not a good idea. As far as the winter goes, I do think that I am optimistic that we'll see college basketball. I agree with Zach in some instance, and I definitely am optimistic about our spring sports. But for the fall semester, really up until from now until Thanksgiving, I don't even think we should be doing anything.
I think I got to agree with you on that.
One more thought. Oh, the athletic. This is the one thing. Athletic trainers. Some schools have more than others. Do you foresee a situation, any of you, where the athletic trainers at any given college do not all contract COVID? We're going to see games canceled simply because a team or a school, does not have any trainers to travel.
That could be. It is. I was hoping that we'd be a little more optimistic with this podcast, but I really think that you're all correct that it makes sense. Let's just shut this thing down until at least past Thanksgiving. We'll reassess for the winter sports, decide whether we could start them in December. We have to wait till January. We have to wait till February for them. Maybe push the fall sports to the spring also. The Southwestern Athletic Conference is going to play football in the spring. Yeah. If we really got to have a football season for these schools, there might be a March, April, May football season to be had. But I do want to take the chance to thank everybody for joining us here. Make certain that you do stay safe out there, social distance, as Mike is not doing over there with all those Michigan players around him. Wear a face mask like Slika is doing over there.
And David.
Especially if you're David, wear the face mask and always wear it for the rest of your life if you're David. We also had Zach with us. We had John Titel with us. Do want to thank everyone for joining us. I'm Chad Sherwood.
Good morning, I'm us too.
Anyone want to pitch in for a special Kansas-Missouri mask for the puppet?
One other piece of news here. If there is no non-conference basketball, there will be no board this year. But thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon. and we're off.
Okay.
The border war.
I don't think we're off.
It's the border war. Doesn't matter. It doesn't.
Hold on.
It matters.
We're still recording. Hold on, guys. Let's stop the recording.